Welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's weekly podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. And today joining us, some very special guests.
My name is Kristen Samuelson. I'm a senior theater and communication studies major. I will be presenting at the Creative Works Symposium over the importance of play theory within theatrical rehearsal processes and techniques, especially in performance.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lentz. I'm a senior philosophy major at Southwestern, and at the Creative Works Symposium, I will be presenting my honors thesis titled Building the Bourgeois Playground, the Financialization of Capitalism and Its Effects on U.S. Urban Governance.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Knacker. I'm a junior chemistry major, and I will be presenting over my research over a protecting group for alcohols that can only be removed with gold ions.
I'm Keegan Taylor. I'm a senior environmental studies and political science major, and I am completing a sustainable tracking assessment and rating system for Southwestern, so that we can finally get recognition for all of our green initiatives.
And those students actually just representing a sample of some of the undergraduate research going on at Southwestern right now. And Ed, I mean, these students are, I met them the day. I mean, they're incredible. And the topics they're doing kind of, you know,
it's breathtaking.
High-level stuff.
It's absolutely breathtaking. And I need to tell you that our Research and Creative Works Symposium, which is going to be actually Tuesday, April 14th, it's an all-day event. All the classes are canceled for that day. Hundreds of students participate, whether it's through panel discussions, whether it's through lectures, whether it's through presentations, poster sessions, or performances. The bottom line is our students are literally creating new knowledge and generating new ideas and producing this new creative works.
Well, and you know what, being many years removed from my undergraduate days and not sure that I would have been able to generate much original knowledge or content when I was there. I mean, one thing that's interesting to me is to think about the concept of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who are still very much in the learning stage of developing how to be a researcher, sort of how to think about all of this. But really, age is not a factor here. Experience is not a factor. These are just brains hard at work.
And hard at work is the essence. It's tenacity. And when I started in my field, which you know is mathematics, many people believe that, you know, undergraduates can't make original contributions to cutting-edge mathematics. And that's just wrong. I've written many, many scholarly papers, including new theorems, with undergraduates. I've done that here at Southwestern.
Well, and I think there's sort of an idea out there of people who are either in higher education or have been through it or kind of looking at it that's the purview of graduate students. That graduate students work with professors. They get to do the research and maybe teach a class or whatever, but that research is really reserved for higher level graduate students. But clearly, that is not the case.
And the really cool thing is that the best preparation for graduate school is to have an experience like these students are getting at Southwestern, where they're actually engaged in the habits of mind to think about things anew. And that's what a PhD is all about.
So let me ask you a question. Say you had an undergraduate student in your office, maybe a math student perhaps, who was nervous, was not confident in his or her math skills, but maybe was thinking about research. What do you say to encourage an undergraduate student who may not have the confidence to move forward and pair up with a professor to do research?
This is the art that our faculty at Southwestern University brings to the table, to craft questions, to start off with some very basic fundamental questions, but that are answerable. And then once that student answers that question, a little bit of confidence and insight and understanding is built, and then that's immediately followed by another question. And ideally, my faculty are so great that after a while, they then let the student start generating the questions for him or herself. That's the dream. And quite frankly, it's not easy to do. You're right, Jennifer. But if you are in a position as an educator and as a scholar to realize that you start off at a very basic level and then you work your way up and progressively raise the bar, the students at Southwestern will rise up to that challenge.
All right. So I have a question for you.
Yes, please. always, Jennifer. I am your answer person.
So my question is, what is the solution to the puzzler about the magician and the deck of cards? And trust me, it's way more complicated than just a magician and a deck of cards.
Do you know that there are people out there that had withdrawal from 2 weeks ago and we didn't actually – the whole thing was a puzzler?
Well, I think it's taken me the whole time to try to get to the solution. I don't even know how I got there.
Let me rewind our listeners. First of all, the question. It was a very complicated magic illusion. You have a regular deck of 52 playing cards. The magician shuffles those cards repeatedly, maybe gives them to an audience member to shuffle, then gives that to someone else who will create two piles, each pile consisting of 26 cards. So the deck of cards cut exactly in half.
Okay.
And then those two piles are given back to the magician. The magician puts those two piles on the table, puts an index finger on one, an index finger on the other, and then says, voila. And at that moment, magically, the number of black cards in one pile equals exactly the number of red cards in the other pile. He's kind of made this transformation. And sure enough, if you turn over the decks and count the black cards in one pile and the red cards in the other, those two numbers are exactly the same. And the question is, how did the magician perform this illusion?
All right, so I'm going to give my go at it, which is it's not an illusion. That's just what happens.
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely
correct.
Wait,
I think that's the first time I've gotten
Stop
one.
It. How dare
no,
you?
No, just the first time I've gotten one of these.
Well,
of
I'm not even sure about that. Now everyone has to go back and listen to every single episode to see if that's right or not, because we're not going to tell them. But that's exactly right. And in fact, any one of our listeners can try this. Take a deck of cards. But here's the way to think about it. Imagine, for example, if there was only the deck had only, let's say, four cards, and two black and two red. And now you mix them up, and now you separate them into two piles of two each. Well, think about it. If you have all black in the one pile, that forces all red in the other pile, because you know the number of reds and blacks are the same. And if you have one black in one pile, then that means that there has to be a red in that same pile, which means there's only one red left over for the other one. So if you think about it, it's a balancing act. And the fact that they're the same number of black cards as there are red cards, and we're cutting the deck in half, that means that in the first pile, we'll have some number of black cards and the rest are red. Well, that some number of black must equal the number of red in the other pile to compensate. And so you're absolutely right. Mathematician Jennifer.
Well, I just...
Or mathematician.
Oh, I like that. I have to say I came at my solution in a much less involved and elegant way.
Well, how'd you do it?
I just said, I think it's half and half because there's an even number in the deck of each.
I like it. There's a good intuition there. My method comes back to something that we talked about a month or so ago, which when you're faced with a difficult challenge, don't do it. Do something easier. Look
yes.
at simple things deeply. So suppose the deck only had two cards. Then how would it work? Yeah. And so forth.
Well, and what I love about your solution to this one and many others is, to me, it seems like a creative solution. I mean, you're bringing a what I would call creative way of thinking to this. I think I kind of stumbled into kind of a basic way. And some of the topics that students have done their research on, I would say they're doing the same thing, is they're bringing kind of creative thinking, maybe a little bit more in-depth or involved way of thinking to some of the knowledge that they're creating.
A far more sophisticated knowledge that they're bringing to the table, but the concept remains the same. You start off by understanding simple things deeply, and you keep pushing and pushing and building upon that until you have an edifice that literally is a skyscraper of intellectual knowledge. These students are literally creating new knowledge and are generating new creativity. And, you know, on April 14th, that whole day, and by the way, it's open to the public. You can come. Everyone can come. It's just a moment where we show that young people can add to human knowledge.
Well, and that makes me think in another episode, we're going to have to talk about learning and age, maybe, because we've got we're talking about young learners today. Maybe we'll talk about older learners like us. And
remind me to tell
episode.
You my theory about Euclid.
All right.
Yes. The old mathematician, the old Greek mathematician.
Right.
I got a whole story on that.
Coming. Did you know him? I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. You walked
How
right
dare
into
you.
That one.
I'm closing out this episode.
Well, fortunately, time is up. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Ed, we thank you, as always, for your wonderful discussion and thoughts today.
Thank you.
He's not speaking to me. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station.